Blog Talk Radio.
Are bombarded by beckoning voices and our world is polluted with sound. Lord, let us hear you. In a land dissected and muddled by mazes of roads and never-ending highways, Lord, help us find your way. In a world of easy promises, empty guarantees, and quitclaim insurance policies, give us the security of your hand, Lord Jesus. At a time when we are confused by conflicting authorities that would tell us how to manage our marriages, our finances, and our children, oh Lord Jesus, show us your way. As we walk the tightropes of parenthood in these explosive days, training our little ones to live in a world for which there are no precedents, Lord, we just need you. In all things, gentle shepherd, help us find the way.
There's no Matthew, a very similar passage Jesus is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, Matthew 12 and at verse 15. It says, and Jesus, perceiving, withdrew from there, and many followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him. And he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall any hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles hope. We're going to look at another passage in just a moment, but let's start with this. Here we see, as in Capernaum, Jesus understood the scripture and gave it to them, and they understood that he spoke concerning himself being the fulfillment. And now here we see Jesus acting out another of those prophecies concerning himself, also from Isaiah, and where we are again reminded, one, that he was anointed with the Spirit from his Father. And here we see that he lived out that life pleasing to his Father. And wherever, read the Gospels, and you'll see wherever there was the slightest hope of recovery, Jesus tends to the situation. But he does it, as the book of Romans says, with kindness and severity. Now, in our natural heads, that doesn't seem to equate, kindness and severity. But we also read in Romans that it's the kindness of God and it's the severity of God that leads to repentance. Okay, so here we're talking about a reed and about a smoldering wick. A reed isn't that important, is it? There are zillions of reeds. I mean, you walk along riverbank, reeds all over the place. You know, why would you be interested in one? And especially if that one is bent. If that one is bent, why would you really pay attention to that one? I mean, there's a lot of good ones. Why bother with that one that's a little bent? And yet, Jesus offers liberty to that bruised reed. And then, what about a smoldering wick? It's not of much value either. Snuff it out and get rid of the smoke. Simple procedure, but not Jesus. He takes Let me start that again. He does whatever it takes to get it ablaze again, that light may once again radiate. It's no wonder we have the affirmation at the end of this scripture that in him will the Gentiles hope. One who cares about a bruised reed. One who cares about a smoldering wick. In him will the Gentiles hope. In his name shall the Gentiles hope. And we need to see what a marvelous name is the name of Jesus. You see, God doesn't see the way men see. because his faith or his sight is totally a sight of faith. He sees not merely the visible, but he sees potential. He sees fulfillment. And he will draw it out by whatever means it takes to bring out that potential and that fulfillment. We are all like so many reeds. Often overlooked as insignificant, even to ourselves sometimes, and certainly often to others, but not to He who created and loves us. I'm reminded of a line from a Ray Bolt song. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. And we may even look at ourselves and say, well, I'm really nothing. You let God decide that. Because He can see the whole picture. Now, what about Christianity? I want to say, it's not a very popular opinion, but it is not one of the world's great religions. If you're in college or university, you take a comparative religions class, Christianity is one of them. But Christianity isn't a religion. It is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. Although many treat it as religion, as a kind of Sunday thing. I shared this before, but it rings in my mind, this little cartoon that I saw of a father getting out of his car at the end of a day, and he obviously had a hard day, and his son is sort of standing off to the side talking to one of his friends. He said, I like my dad on Sundays best, because that's when he's a Christian.